Thank you, guys. Am I working, Matt? Do I sound good? No? Let me see. I've got a dot, a green dot down here. Keep changing the levels so my voice is that deep, bro. Once it is, we can stop. Hey, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Kevin McLean. I'm the senior pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church, located right down the street from here. And I have been coming to the Well for a few years, and I know that I've got to know some of you pretty well, some of you only a little bit, but I'm grateful to God to be able to be here to share a word with you as we continue to go through the book of James together. And so Sadie was so kind as to appoint a reading for me, and I want to read this together with you, and that will be right up there on the screen. So from the book of James, chapter 3, starting with verse 13, James, the brother of our Lord, writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers, who sow in peace, reap a harvest of righteousness." That, friends, is the word of the Lord. So look, we're going through the book of James, and in the book of James, we have something that among churchly types we have fought about for a long time. James is simultaneously like one of the easiest books in the whole Bible, because whatever James is talking about, he just says it straight out. It's like, well, you shouldn't do this, you should do this. You almost wish that everybody would be that straightforward in life. You'd say like, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? Just tell me the answer. Let's just work it out. Let's work out life together. But in order to do that, man, I need some answers. I need you guys to tell me what it is that you want. I need to tell you what I want. We have to speak plainly. We've got to be clear, not only with one another, but what's within ourselves, in order to have a life that we can share together. And James, he just lays it out. He says, look, this is what God wants. Do you want to know what God wants? He wants these things. Here's what you should do. And the problem is that makes us really uncomfortable too, because, well, there's not a whole bunch of room for interpretation. There's not a whole bunch of room to play it by ear and to sort things out. And even though the word of the Lord is real clear through James's letter, it isn't always just as clear how to put it all into practice. You know what? Life is like that from top to bottom. You guys are in college. How many of you guys, this is your first year? Here, raise your hand. Let me see it. All right, fantastic. That's a couple of you. Your first year in college, it's not like your last year in high school. Things are different. As a matter of fact, your last year in college, not like your first year in college. Everything is different. Everything's always changing. And when you arrive on campus for the first day, whether you remember coming to visit the campus, if you did that with your folks, or if you're preparing to leave it for the last time, things are looking different. Things are changing. And you have to sort out and work out where it is that God's leading you. Tonight he's led you to the Well. Tomorrow, who knows? He's guiding you through this year that's been unlike pretty much any other. And who knows what the future brings? You're not going to be able to bring everything that you've learned and done this year forward in time. And that means you're going to start learning new things. And in that, you'll have this desire in your heart to say, somebody just tell me how to do this, man, because I need to know how to live. I need to know how to work it out. And at times like that, man, the book of James is fantastic. But you know what? When I read from the book of James this evening, this passage, it talks about, at first, wisdom. And wisdom seems like the answer to all of our problems, right? If we only knew the right way to live together, if we only knew the right way to be, we could sort things out. We could make stuff work. It doesn't always happen that way. Instead of life being like a scientific experiment where we can isolate one little thing and change it and see how it works, try it again until we get things right. Most of the time, we get one shot. We do our best, and sometimes it works out just the way we hope, and other times, things don't sound exactly like we hoped they would. You know, I think of life a lot like this, the way that I think about music. You guys play music? Who in here plays music? Other than band people, y'all play music, of course. So only a handful. But raise your hand if you like music. I like music. I like music a lot, man. I got all kinds of weird music tastes. I'm going to force you to listen to some of it tonight. So if you like weird music, you're really in for a treat. And if you don't, you should have brought earplugs. Music is great because, you know what? It's very clear that there's something that's music. And music is beautiful. Music speaks to our hearts, right? It opens up to us truth. And it speaks to us even without words. Like if we hear a song that's sad, we know it's a sad song. How do you know it's a sad song? The words haven't even started yet. It's like, I don't know, man. But this is pretty sad. But you can hear a happy song and be like, that's cool. It's a completely different experience. No words. It's almost as though every little nuance, every little action that somebody makes, whether by itself it would be beautiful, whether alone it would be what the person playing the instrument or making the music would, whether it's what they would have hoped it would have been, when everything comes together, things generally work out. And it becomes a blessing to us, and it becomes beautiful in a way that each and every individual part of music can't be. But life is that way too. You know, as we go through our lives and we're trying to figure out, like, well, how am I supposed to live? Think back to your first day hopping into a class here at AU. And you went to a class, you walk through the door. What's your first thought? Who am I sitting next to? Not that person. I had that experience right off the bat, when I first went to college, and it was like, I don't know anybody. I guess these people look cool. That person looks cool. That person scares me. I'm going this direction. I'm making a go of it, you know? In the moment, you have to make a choice as to what step you're going to take. And there's no choice not to take a step. You're going. It doesn't always pan out exactly like you hope. Sometimes you're completely wrong about the one person, and sometimes you're completely wrong about the others. Sometimes it's as though fate has guided you to somebody else. But in all of the actions that we take, in all of the choices, as we try to live a life that's guided by wisdom, and so that is to say, all the information that we possess and the best of our ability to put it into action in a way that makes sense and that's good, it doesn't always play out as we hope. But I take comfort in music because I know this, that there are sounds that can happen in music that are just strange, and I really like that kind of music. I know I'm old. If those of you who don't know how old I am, I'm 40. I turned 40 this year. You're officially old. We have an older than me person up here as well, and it looks like he fell asleep up there. Hey, Chris, did you fall asleep? Okay, you're not that old yet. He's working on it. So am I, though. Listen, a good nap. We all appreciate it. 40, you can't lie anymore, man. The math doesn't work out. You're like, 39? I'm in my 30s? I'm not. I hit old, but I still like techno music. Any of you guys like techno? Anyone like lo-fi? No. Dude, I have all kinds of strange musical interests now, and YouTube has been a great thing. Like, the other day, I found 10-hour loop of Russian Doomer music. I'm like, I don't know, man, but, like, it's free, so let's go. It was not that bad. It was not that, but it was music par excellence, dude, because laugh it up. Someday you're going to be 40, man, and you're going to be like, listen, have you ever heard of Britney Spears? More of a Katy Perry guy myself. But the thing about this kind of music is none of the sounds make sense by themselves. It's almost like you're one step away from this just being noise that's randomly happening in some computer from the 1950s. But what's strange is, like, if you do it just right, if you change things around just so, it becomes incredible, and it's deep, and it's layered, and you get to think about it. And as you're listening to it, it makes you think. And what I find is it makes me, it provides a background where, as I'm listening to it, and I'm trying to make sense of it, I find it's easier for me to study or read, reflect on my own life, and try to make sense of it. And I wonder if that isn't because my life is a lot like what's going on with that music. I make a step, and I think I'm doing the right thing. But it doesn't always play out as I hope. All of the wisdom that I possess, all of the knowledge, all of the schooling, all of the whatever that I try to bring to bear, all of the life experience, it falls short. And what I find is that when I want to try harder, when I want to push farther to get ahead, when I want to force everything to work just so, when my life is filled with the kinds of ambitions that I believe James is talking about here, is it doesn't get better because I try harder. It just seems forced and unnatural. It just seems like I'm less happy and less fulfilled. And that kind of wisdom, James says, the wisdom that drives you to try to lay hold of life like that and get everything under control that way, that isn't from God. That's an earthly way of living. It's trying to do what can happen naturally and beautifully by grabbing it around the neck and submitting it to your will. And there's nothing beautiful or good about that. I know you guys are studying right now, midterms. I had a conversation already with somebody struggling for going through midterm stuff. It's like, you know, the choices that you're making right now, they matter. How you do in your classes, they matter. You want to advance, you want to move forward. And there's always that tendency as things start getting down to the wire to be like, I just got to push harder. I got to push harder. I got to do more. I got to double it down. I got to really buckle down this time. I got to completely just take over. I got to shut out everything out of my life. Got to shut the windows, put the headphones on, and just buckle down. And I have to do everything that's necessary in order to make sure that life works out the way that it's supposed to. Because right now, everything, when I take it on its own, it doesn't fit. It doesn't work. The pieces aren't going to add up to something beautiful. What do I do? Well, I better get in gear. I better channel some ambition, some discipline, some strength, some will, some force, and get it done. How does it make you feel when you do that? Because I know we all do that. I don't think there's a person in here who's like, no, I'm chill, completely zen, all the time. Just, you're not. I'm not. How does it make you feel? Rips you up inside, doesn't it? How does it make you treat other people when that kind of stress is what's controlling your life? Do you feel like it's heavenly? Or is it the earthly and demonic things that James mentions? This is not the way that it's meant to be lived. The way that God desires us to live is this. To trust that all of the strength and all of the power, all of the work and the might and the force that's sometimes necessary to make sure that everything is going to end up playing out okay in the end, that God in heaven above is the one who is capable of making that happen, and that your part to play in all of this as his child is not to do the work that he's promised to do for you, but to rest in peace in the fact that he's going to do it himself. And when we have that faith that James is always telling us that we need to be living out and not just believing in our heads, when we start to live into that faith, life becomes different. it's the exact opposite. All of a sudden, it's like, you know what? Maybe you're still making the choices that the best choices you can make in the moment, and maybe they don't sound the way that they probably should. And maybe things aren't exactly the way that you would want them to be. But they're getting done. And what God's promise to us is this, is that he is the one who will make it work out. He is the one who, by grace, by free gift, by his love for you, and by your faith and trust in it, as you live out that trust, it's going to happen. And it's real hard to have that peace in those moments while we're trying to make it happen ourselves. And this is where James is a gift for us, because he says, look, it isn't enough that you think that. I know we all think that. We all think that as we're sitting down, just beating on the computer keyboard, typing away, trying to do a paper. It's not that you shouldn't do that. It's that there is peace for you here, because God has all of this under control, even when you feel like you don't. What happens when we release it into God's hands? Well, it's much easier to do this, to step back and, rather than being so caught up in trying to force the moment to be something that it isn't, you can sit back and see all of it unfolding in front of you. And you know what? When the pieces come together, it's some strange music, man. But it's beautiful. And it's a story. And sometimes it's sad and sometimes it's happy, but it's incredible. And that's what life is supposed to be. It's not about working everything out and getting it all under control. It's about the fact that God has already done that for you in Christ. That's good news. But I started this thing off by pointing out that there's that strange problem with James, you know, where it's like, he just says, here's what you're supposed to do. How do you do it? How do you do it? I want to point out that this passage, it starts off with talking about wisdom, but it doesn't talk in the way we expect about wisdom. We usually think, like, wisdom's so great, get more of it. Wisdom, you know? It says you should be careful with these things. And what he plays that off against is not something we normally associate with wisdom. He says, peacemakers who sow peace will reap a reward. So the answer to all of the wisdom and all of the strength and all of the ambition and all of the work and all of this and all of that is to be found in peace. That's what God's won for us in Christ. He dies for the forgiveness of our sins. Why? So we don't have to. So we can have peace. Now here's the deal. In church, we love to talk about peace a lot. Peace is a good thing, man. If you don't have peace, you want peace. I'm a big fan. It seems like it's never in enough supply. But I'll say this, man. I did not know, and I still think, even though I've gone through many trials in life, I didn't know a harder time for me than right around your guys' age. That it was so difficult to find peace. And in part, it was how I was going about living my life, right? I very much wanted things to go in a certain direction, and I pushed very hard in that direction. Now, let me tell you, it was not exactly the right direction most of the time, you know? And that means that a lot of the pushing had to be trying to get things back headed in a direction that would be okay. But my life wasn't filled with peace. As a matter of fact, in that time in my life, what I experienced was the destruction of my peace primarily in this way. I was away from my folks, my family, who at the time I didn't have a great relationship with, to be honest. I was happy to be away from my parents, but I also missed them. I was away from my brothers. I have two brothers. I was away from all my friends. I moved away to go to university in a different state. I'm from Southern California. I went to school in Oklahoma, okay? I know, now you feel the pain. You're like, you know, it doesn't sound that bad. Oh, my goodness, Oklahoma? Yeah, it's that bad. It was weird. Everyone thought I was Canadian. I don't know what to do with that. And I wanted to have relationships desperately, but I didn't know how to do it. All my friends were back home. And even the relationships I was making, they weren't, now let's just say, they weren't the right relationships. It's odd that God puts such an emphasis on relationship and on peace. But it's such a huge and important part of our lives that when God wants to bring peace between us and him, he sends his son and gives us a relationship. When he wants to make us a part of the family, it's by relationship. When he wants to make us a church together, it's by relationship. And when there's peace in this part of our lives that connects us to other people in love and in joy and in peace and in hope and all those good things, and it almost doesn't matter how everything works out. But I wonder how many people in here are going through a time in their life where there is a lack of peace in their relationships. How many, like I was at that point in my life, you're going through a rocky time with your folks or with your siblings. You only go home to see folks on the weekends, if you're lucky, and the relationships that you had that were important to you throughout your life, they're not what they were. And you're trying to sort out relationships here, and they're not always what they could be. And what I would like to do, and what I think would be a blessing, and what I believe James is trying to tell us in this passage, is that if we want to know peace, we need to be able to let go, to accept what God has done, and to live in it. He's given you peace, friends. And you can know that peace. But how do we live in that peace with one another? The same way we live in it with God. We forgive one another. And we love one another. And we remember those incredible things that drew us together. And we mourn the ways that things aren't what they could be. But we also invest our lives in trying to make them what they should be. And I want to do that together with you guys tonight. And I'm going to force you to listen to some of that weird music I was talking about. So, I see them scrambling up there. God bless them. I'm going to give you a preface. This song's weird, but I like it. If you don't, fight me IRL. Here's the thing. You won't know what the words are in every place. In some of the song, it's backwards. So good luck trying to figure it all out. But the main words to the song are this, is that little by little, we work things out. That's our life together in Christ. It's our faith in him, how we live it out. It's how we live out our relationships one to another. And I'd like to just take a time and sit down and pray. And consider those relationships that aren't what they could be. And consider the little things that might have fallen apart. And the little things that we can do to put them back together. Because God is the one who heals the brokenness. He's the one who brings the peace. And I hope that spending a few minutes in prayer to God and in consideration of the good things that we have and the ways that they could even be better is a blessing and a gift of peace for each of you. So before we fire it up, I'm going to pray, I'm going to sit down, and let's do this. You ready? Let us pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we desire to hear the beautiful music that you play about us in life, turning every action both good and bad, by forgiveness, by redemption, by love, by things that we dismiss as chance, into beautiful parts of something bigger and more incredible than we imagine. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to see everything. All of the successes of life, Lord, but also all of our failures as the beginning of a beautiful masterpiece that you are writing. Lord, fill us with your Spirit and grant us peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.